व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी शोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट 39 दृष्ट्वा तेषां मिथो नृणां अवज्ञानात्मना नृपा त्रेदादिषु हरेरर्चा क्रियायैकविवेकृता दृष्ट्वा तेषां मिथो नृणां अवज्ञानात्मतां नृप त्रेतादिषु हरेरर्चा क्रियायैकविभिकृता दृष्ट्वा तेषां मिथो नृणाम् अवज्ञानात्मतां नृप त्रेतादिषु हरेरर्चा क्रियायैकविभिकृता अवज्ञानात्मतां नृपा त्रेतादीशोर्हरेरर्चा क्रियायै कविभिकृता. लेडीज प्लीज. दृष्ट्वा तेषां मिथो नृणाम् अवज्ञानात्मतां नृपा त्रेतादीषु हरेर्नृप क्रियायै कविभिकृता. दृष्ट्वा तेषां मृतो नृणाम् अवज्ञानात्मतां नृपा त्रेतादिषुर्हरेरर्चा क्रियायै कविभिकृता. दृष्ट्वा, आफ्टर प्रैक्टिकली सीइंग, तेषां अमोंग द ब्राह्मणस एंड वैष्णवस मिथः म्यूचुअली नृणाम ऑफ ह्यूमन सोसाइटी अवज्ञान आत्मताम mutually disrespectful behavior. Nrupa, O king, Treta Adishu, beginning from Treta Yuga, Harehe, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Archa, the deity worship in the temple, Kriyayai, for the purpose of introducing the method of worship, Kavibihi, by learned persons, Krita, has been done. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear King, when great sages and saintly persons saw mutually disrespectful dealings, at the beginning of Treta Yuga, deity worship in the temple was introduced with all paraphernalia. Purport. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 3, Text 52. Krute yadhyayato vishnum tretayam yajato makhai dvapare paricharyayam kalau tadhari kirtanat. Whatever result one obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dvapara Yuga by serving the lotus feet, Lord's lotus feet, one can also obtain in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In Satya Yuga, every person was spiritually advanced, and there was no envy between great personalities. Gradually, however, because of material contamination with the advance of the ages, disrespectful dealings appeared even among Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Actually, an advanced Vaishnava is to be respected more than Vishnu. As stated in the Padma Purana, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Of all kinds of worship, the worship of Lord Vishnu is the best. Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. And recommended more than worship of Vishnu is worship of the Vaishnava. Formerly, all activities were performed in connection with Vishnu. But after Satya Yuga, there were symptoms of disrespectful dealings among Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnava is he who has helped others become Vaishnavas. An example of one who has converted many others into Vaishnavas is Narada Muni. A powerful Vaishnava who has converted others into Vaishnavas is to be worshipped. But because of material contamination, sometimes such an exalted Vaishnava is disrespected by other minor Vaishnavas. When great saintly persons saw this contamination, they introduced worship of the deity in the temple. This began in Treta Yuga and was especially prominent in Dvapara Yuga, Dvapare Paricharyayam. But in Kali Yuga, worship of the deity is being neglected. Therefore, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is more powerful than deity worship. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set a practical example in that he did not establish any temple or deities, but he profusely introduced the Sankirtan movement. Therefore, Krishna consciousness preachers should give more stress to the Sankirtan movement, especially by distributing transcendental literature more and more. This helps the Sankirtan movement. Whenever there is a possibility to worship the deity, we may establish many centers, but generally we should give more stress to the distribution of transcendental literature, for this will be more effective in converting people to Krishna consciousness. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11-47, Archayam eva haraye, Pujam yaha shraddhaye hate, Natat bhakteshu chaneshu, sabhakta prakrutah smritah. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple, but does not know how to behave toward devotees or people in general, is called Prakrita Bhakta or Kanishtha Adhikari. A Prakrita devotee or neophyte devotee is still on the material platform. He certainly engages in worshipping the deity, but he cannot appreciate the activities of a pure devotee. It has actually been seen that even an authorized devotee who is engaged in the service of the Lord by preaching the mission of Krishna consciousness is sometimes criticized by neophyte devotees. Such neophytes are described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sarva prani samana samanartham avagya spardhadipatam tu bhagavat pratimaiva patram iti aha. For those who cannot properly appreciate the activities of authorized devotees, deity worship is the only way for spiritual advancement. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya 7.11, it is clearly said, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. Without being authorized by Krishna, one cannot preach the holy name of the Lord throughout the entire world. Nevertheless, a devotee who does so is criticized by neophyte devotees, Kanishtha Adhikaris, who are on the lower stages of devotional service. For them, deity worship is strongly recommended. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Milatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In this verse, there is an important word. It says, Kavi Bhi. Kavi means either a person or a set of persons who are very thoughtful. And their thoughtfulness is in bringing an internal change. Many times, teachers or parents or even leaders, they try to change behaviors of people. And that's nice. What's really important is not behavioral change, but transformational change. Something that should transform the consciousness, the heart. And that is done by Kavi, because they're thoughtful, they're knowledgeable, they understand. They can cut through the externalities to understand the root cause. Therefore, Lord Brahma is called Adikavi. Tene Brahma Adikavaye. Adikavi is the originally thoughtful person. And he is considered originally thoughtful person because he understands why he has made this material creation. And he understands the inner core purpose of Krishna's heart. That the living entities are envious towards Krishna, and the material world is a place of learning and a place of reformation. It's to reform the consciousness back to freedom from that envy that one carries. It's a competitive consciousness. It's competing with Krishna instead of serving Krishna. As one devotee says, and we've said this many times, that in the material world, everyone wants to be the boss anu boss. And spiritual life is das anu das. So that transformation needs to come. And the material world is the field in which that reformation is supposed to be brought out. It's designed in such a way. It may take some time, in the sense it may take millions of lifetimes, and still a person cannot learn. It's possible. And therefore, saintly persons are introduced into the world. They don't need to come here. But they come is to help us recognize that that's what's going on around us. The rules of the game, if you call it a game, are meant for a particular outcome. Until then, we're all playing the game without knowing that I'm in the game. It's called Maya. So the saintly persons identify for us, hey, this is the rule, this is the foul play here, this is where you're going to, you know, get more negative points towards you, this is how you're going to make things easier for you. And then we suddenly realize I'm part of a big plot or a game. So they're called Kavi. And they have the ability to steer human life in a particular way. So here, whatever happened in Treta Yuga, Prabhupada writes, Narada Muni was, for example, being disrespected. The Kavis, they figured out, they saw that Satya Yuga had ended and Treta was starting. And they figured out that among Brahmins and Vaishnavas, there are some problems. And the problem is disrespectful behavior towards each other. Now, this Treta, generally, it is Satya, Dwapara, Treta, and Kali. That's the normal course of time. Only in one day of Brahma, during the seventh Manu, and during that seventh Manu in his 28th Yuga cycle, there is a little distortion or anomaly which we've been talking. Interestingly, the anomalies come here. The anomaly is that instead of Satya, Dwapara, Treta, Kali, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, they get switched. It's like morning, evening, afternoon, and night. It's like, whoa, what's going on? So that discrepancy, that anomaly creates a lot of issues. And that is why Krishna appears during this anomalous time. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Because such a big anomaly only Krishna can address. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes right after. Because that Kali Yuga where there is anomalous Treta and Dwapara is too treacherous. And it requires Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we say Treta, deity worship, and then Prabhupada writes, it was more intensely recommended and prescribed by the time Dwapara Yuga came. So we may want to understand what is the connection between respectful dealings and deity worship. Why did the thoughtful persons, instead of sitting some persons down, the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and tell them, Hey, don't be disrespectful to each other. Why did they introduce deity worship? Okay, so that's the, I guess, the main connection here. So why is that? And we see that what started in Treta Yuga as a little discrepancy has become the norm of life in Kali Yuga. Kali means quarrel and consternation, disrespect for each other, like they say. Disrespecting each other is part of the thrill in Kali Yuga. It starts with something, it escalates to something else, and it ends up in Yo Mama, as they say. It goes all the way there. And then it's a matter of competing. How horribly can I disrespect the other person? It's the way of winning. The better you are at disrespecting, the better you are in this world. Look at the political scenario right now, or look at anything else that's happening. It's all about disrespecting each other. And disrespect becomes such a norm that that's how people think we should live, in the name of modernity. It pervades every aspect of life. It pervades in this way. For example, by this time Kali Yuga has arrived, the disrespect is that the previous generation is seen as primitive, valueless, and quite archaic and conservative. So they lose respect for their parents and ancestors and all of that. That's one way. Another way is racism. I am better than someone else. My race is better than that race. Or I am Brahmin, I am better than such and such Shudras or Vaishyas. Or I am male, there's a gender problem. I am man and I am better than women. Or I am from this part of the world and that part of the world, third world. Or even in mutual dealings, because of hierarchical placement of life, oh, I'm the superior, that's the inferior. I'm human being, those are animals. I can kill them and eat them. Or for my selfish reasons, I occupy more space and therefore other living entities, their space has to be severely curtailed. Etc. This is all features of disrespect. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given so much stress to Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, that without respecting other living beings, one cannot chant Hare Krishna. We can try as much, we can read as much philosophy as we want, we can quote as many shlokas as we want, we can do whatever. But if we cannot respect other living entities, starting from Vaishnavas, to the Brahmins, to human beings, to animals, birds, insects, plants, fish, if we cannot respect them, we cannot chant Hare Krishna. Our chanting has no meaning in it. In the sense, we may find some sense of regulation. Oh, you know, I have a regulated life, I'm strict about my practices, all that may be there. But the sweetness that the holy name is supposed to deliver, the sweetness of feeling Krishna's presence within the holy name, because the holy name and Krishna are non-different, that doesn't come up. One feels deprived of it. And so it has become such a norm that even with good intentions we disrespect others, or unintentionally. It happens. So to transform that consciousness, the great persons decided deity worship must be introduced. Because my understanding is that the first order is, as soon as you introduce deity worship, one becomes very conscious about rules. And those rules are meant to awaken respect. that casual, callous, callous disposition cannot work. You cannot approach the deity or the pujari room or any paraphernalia of the deity in a casual way. It all begins with formality. Respect and formality go together. Right? Familiarity breeds contempt. So the opposite is also true. Formality breeds respect. It is that sense of formality that begins to say, oh, I cannot be casual in front of the deities. I cannot be casual in my worship of the deities. I need to take a bath. I need to be clean. And you cannot touch this. I cannot eat that. I cannot drink this. I cannot think like this. I cannot talk like that. It puts all these restrictions to make things so formal that we are aware I'm in the presence of the deity. Therefore, if you see Rupa Goswami's chapters in Nectar of Devotion, where he says 64 rules and regulations, the first three talk about the spiritual master. The next five talk about the five most potent forms of devotional service, worshipping the deity, worshipping the devotees, chanting of the holy name, residing in a holy place, and studying Bhagavatam every day. He covers these. And then on, the list becomes extremely tactical. You cannot sit with your feet pointing towards the deity. You cannot sit with touching your knees or feet in front of the deities. You cannot, come on a palanquin. You cannot wear your shoes. You cannot pass air. You cannot show your back. It's a whole long list of what you can do and cannot do. Why? Makes everything formal. And formal means now you're aware. Oh. It's not like you're sitting in sweatpants. You're in your full tuxedo. Like you're fully aware. And that begins. Now for connected with deity worship are the devotees. You cannot worship the deity without worshiping the pure devotee first. Otherwise there's no meaning. In all of our worship, we first, any article that's offered to the deity is first offered to the spiritual master, the guru parampara, and only then we can access Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. If you see in morning worship, first to this picture of the spiritual master, Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, we take permission and then we offer. And then all the Mahaprasad also comes back, is offered to Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, spiritual master, and then is accepted, given to the devotees. So as soon as you say deity, pure devotee also. So then you have to respect the pure devotee. So the countermeasure for disrespectful dealings was formality, deity worship. Because we become too familiar, then there is disrespect. So as devotees, the message for us, message for me, is we need to become, experts or more skilled at learning how much close we become to devotees. At the same time, how to maintain that sense of respect and formality. It's two forces acting in opposite directions. And that's why sometimes Krishna consciousness becomes a little confusing, because we are asked, please have the most intimate, loving relationships with devotees. So close. BFF. Bhakta for life. Right? Whatever. BFF. Forever. At the same time, when you get so close, you get to see. And my spiritual master spent 6 months talking about this topic, I remember. And when you get very close to each other, you get to see things that you had not known existed in their nature, in their behaviors, in their personality. And then you start thinking, ooh, I didn't know that. And that's when disrespect starts. So what we do is we jump far apart. And we lose the taste of loving exchanges. Because respect or formality moves this way, intimacy moves this way. So where is that balance? Where there is very intimate relationship, but without any loss of respect. And we all calibrate on that scale. Calibrate means sometimes we get too close, we say some things, and they get offended, we apologize, that's part of respect. We apologize, then it moves this way, and then we say, oh, I prefer not to interact with this person because they're like this, and then that distance comes, everything is formal, and you lose the rasa, then you want to say something, and then something else happens. So this dynamic in relationships keeps happening. We have to find that, and it's with each devotee, it's not the same with everyone. That's another problem. With some, you can be very close, say things, and it wouldn't matter. With some, even the slight movement of the eyebrow would be like, whoa, what did you say? It's this whole thing here. I can say with realization, because I'm in the middle of it right now, something like that. So that's something we need to learn. And so formality in relation to Krishna and Krishna's devotees helps bring that sense that these are Vaishnavas. I cannot disrespect them. I need to have very loving relationship. And as soon as that loving relationship has some challenge, the first order is respect and say, these are Vaishnavas. What's the best way to honor them in such a way that Krishna is not displeased? Or if I have to seek forgiveness, fine. If I have to serve them, fine. Whatever. Individually, each situation might be different. So the Kavibhi, they figured a very wonderful way. And so in everyone's life, deity worship brings that connection. Because for all of us, now I'm speaking in our context, whatever might be happening when we come in front of Kishore Kishore and we say, oh, for their pleasure. If that's the consideration, then new doors open, which otherwise we didn't know existed. So Prabhupada writes that in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got the same impact through chanting of the holy name. Because not everyone is qualified to worship a deity. We're also doing. But because of Prabhupada's grace, we're doing it. But if I go by the Smartha standard, no one would allow me to be even near a temple. Forget about being on the altar. I would not qualify to enter a temple according to Smartha rule because there's so much disqualification. By Prabhupada's grace, not only are we living in the temple, we are on the altar, touching the deities and cooking for them. And all this is a super bonus, you know, we've been given that opportunity. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought the same revolution in the heart, Viplava. It's called Viplava, it's a revolution in the heart by the process of Sankirtan, chanting of the holy name. That means the antidote for disrespect is to chant Hare Krishna. For whatever situation, the antidote, whatever situation in Kali Yuga, the antidote is to chant Hare Krishna. Now the quality of our Hare Krishna will naturally determine how effectively we are taking the medicine or not. If we are given a pill by the doctor, and he says it's a very, very effective pill, and all I do with it is, you know, rub it on my cheek or rub it on my hand, and say medicine is not working, or it's in the cabinet. You have the medicine? I have the most potent medicine. Are you taking it? No, it's there. I look at it every morning. Nice medicine. Then its efficacy cannot be experienced. That medicine has to be taken. For us, it was very interesting. For devotees, the medicine is taken from the ear. You have to pour the medicine here. Because from here it goes to stomach. From here it goes to the heart. There's a channel like this. So it has to go from here. Of course, sevan mukhe hi jivvado. It has to begin with the tongue. And we vibrate the sound that goes to the ear and then moves to the heart. Pravishta karnarandhrena swanam bhava sororuham dhunoti shamalam krishna shalilasya yathasarat. Pravishta, entering through the karnarandhrena, the holes of the ear. Swanam, Krishna's own holy name. Bhava sororuham. Sororuham is the cavity of the heart. Bhava sororuham means it can awaken feelings of ecstasy. And dhunoti shamalam, that can remove all the contamination. Dhunoti shamalam Krishna. Salilasta yathashar, just as the fresh autumnal rains make the muddy or murky rivers clear. So two things happen. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Amanina Manadena. Amanina Manadena. Amanina, because the more we are looking for respect, the more dirt we are collecting. Because respect in the material world, according to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, is thirst for donkey urine. That's how he compares respect from others. It's like you have a thirst for donkey urine. Very nice. So we can't say to others, I have to give you, here I'm giving you donkey urine. That's not okay. When it is given to others, it's nectar. When it is taken for oneself, it transforms as donkey urine. Amanina manate kirtaniya sada. Very important. And so you see in the life of devotees, as we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, how much respect they have for each other. Beyond those lines that actually are sources or causes of disrespect. Advaita Acharya respecting Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur respecting Sanatana Goswami. Each respecting the other in a particular way that is so expert that it doesn't defy too much on this side, doesn't over, it's not overly done on that side, but it is so sweet and wonderful. It's like, wow, how do they know how to do it so nicely? So we say honoring prasadam. We've heard this story many times. Haridas Thakur in Jagan, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was narrating that in Jagannath Puri, nobody follows Ekadashi. They don't care. He was laughingly saying that the deity of Ekadashi has been tied up behind the temple and they keep her there. Who cares for Ekadashi? Jagannath likes rice items, you know, 56 times a day, 365 days a year. And all these devotees used to reside in Jagannath Puri. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said, everyone must follow Ekadashi. That was his request and demand. So once Haridas Thakur was given a big plate of Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath on an Ekadashi day. You can't say no to it. You can't eat it. Because if you say no to Jagannath Prasad, you know what happens. Lord Balaram comes in your dream and slaps you like anything. There's one devotee, rickshaw driver, Muslim guy, who had given a ride to a devotee to the Jagannath temple. And so they said, here's some prasad. He said, this is all idol worship. I don't want it. And he went away. Next day he came saying, can I get a little prasad? So they asked him, hey, yesterday you said no. Today you're asking, what's going on? He said, do you see this? On his cheek were a mark of five fingers. And he said, this person, you know, this white person, was Lord Balaram. said, he appeared in my dream last night. He sat on my chest, held my collar and said, you rascal, you said no to my brother's Mahaprasad and gave me one tight slap. I've come begging you for I should not say no for Jagannath's Prasad. And you can't eat because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave an order. How can Haridas Thakur violate what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said? So when he had a whole plate of Prasad, always remember it for us, respect is the best way to avoid all problems. So he said, okay. We say we have to honor prasadam, so you have to respect it before we eat. We say Mahaprasade Govinde, we say it in about 4 nanoseconds. But Haridas Thakur, he started glorifying prasadam of Lord Krishna by verses from scriptures, one after the other. And he glorified the Mahaprasadam all afternoon, all evening, through the night, till the next morning when it was time to break the fast, and that's when he ate it. Because he was honoring it first, before he can eat it. And that was his way to not disrespect the prasadam. The whole afternoon, evening, night. So he must know a lot of verses glorifying prasadam, otherwise he would have been in trouble. What if he finished at 10 o'clock? He said, oh, what to do? Right? That was his way of respecting it. Or this devotee and that devotee, how they respect each other. So standing up, then there are cultural points, you know. You stand up when the superiors are there, you give them a seat, you offer them a place to sit, you speak nice words, etc., etc. These are all signs of respect. But most importantly, the respect means to see them. There are three things about respect. And if we do these three things, then it is said that we are properly respecting someone. Of course, we can speak nice words, but like I started, we don't want behaviors, we want internal transformational change. So the real respect for anyone, any living entity, starting from the topmost pure devotee down to, as Prabhupada says, the insignificant ant, if you will, is one of these three things. One is to always see them as connected to Krishna. They are Krishna's parts and parcels. The second is to understand and appreciate that each of them has a unique place within this creation. Nobody is unwanted. We can't say, we have too many dolphins. We have too many deer in Wisconsin. Let's kill a few. We don't need something. Oh, you have a problem with appendix? Remove it. You have a problem with this organ? Remove that one. This is disrespect. Every organ in the body has a purpose. Some people say, the appendix on this side of the large intestine has a little protrusion, actually has no value, cut it off. It creates imbalance. Every living entity in creation has a purpose. It's to recognize and appreciate that purpose. They have a place. If they had no place, they would not be there. Right? Ant has a place, the bees have a place, the earthworms have a place, the fish, the birds, every living entity has a proper place in creation. And the third way is to facilitate their service in that grander scheme of things. So among us, whatever is the other person's service, if we can facilitate their service so that they can do it better, that's the best form of showing respect. It's either by appreciation or serving them or bringing facilities to them or however, thinking words, however. So these three things are the real way of showing respect. To be able to see everyone connected to Krishna is not possible unless our Chaita Darpana is clear. So therefore it begins with Chaito Darpana Marjana. When we see that our heart is clear, we can see everyone in relation to Krishna. Until then, the Mahadavagni, the fire of disrespect, is burning very strongly. Fire of disrespect means, because I'm so selfish, I'm moved by passion and ignorance to such a degree that I'm only thinking about myself. And because I'm thinking of myself only, I naturally am disrespectful to others. They go together, the two sides of the same coin. And where we cannot respect each other, especially neophytes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Sarva Prani Sammana. Isn't Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song also like that? Please give me the strength to respect all living entities. Sammana. Sakale Sammana Kurite Shakati. Please give me the strength that I can respect Sakale, all the living entities. Sakale Sammana. Sammana. Samyak Rupena Manyate Iti. That is, mana means respect or honor. And sammana is complete respect. This is sarva prani sammana asamarthanam. Asamartha. Samartha means able. Asamartha means unable. So sarva prani sammana asamarthanam avagya sparadhati matam tu bhagavat. Avagya. Avagya means negligent. We say one of the offenses against the holy name is Guru Avagya. Avagya means to neglect of the value of the instruction of the Guru. Being neglectful, being callous, casual. My Guru given me an instruction. Guru's purpose always instruction only. Everything he says is instruction. One of the instructions I don't follow once in a while. What's the big problem? Why does he have such a problem? I followed so many. One I didn't follow. Come on, relax a little bit. No. So he says, avagya spardha adimatam. Spardhati matam. Spardhati matam is like a comparative, it's comparing with each other. Tu bhagavat pratimaiva patram itiaha. So he says, tu bhagavat pratima. Pratima is a symbol. Of course, we don't say the deity is a symbolic, but in Sanskrit, the pratima is the easiest. That the deity as the manifestation of Bhagavan, patram ityaha. So he says, then they are given the role of serving the deity so that they can transform from inside. So Prabhupada writes, for those who cannot properly appreciate the activities of authorized devotees, spardha means the activities of devotees, deity worship is the only way for spiritual advancement. Because it brings about the whole sense of formality, which is important. While we are very loving, that formality is required, especially in the neophyte stage. And we recognize a person's advancement in Krishna consciousness by their ability to honor the devotees, by their ability of their relationships with devotees. Neophyte cannot. Neophyte only thinks of Krishna and the devotees really don't matter. And in a very gross sense, it shows up when people come into the temple. They don't honor Prabhupada first. They walk straight to Radha Krishna, Kishore Kishore. They don't hardly care for who's Gornithai. I mean, that's on a very gross level. So, any questions or comments, anything you want to add? Thank you. You have something, Jitendra Prabhu?
Like you were saying, disrespect is very prominent in Kali Yuga. And, you know, even if a person is seemingly respectful, he's not really respectful in his heart. I remember there was this magazine called Mad Magazine. Mm-hmm. And there's the two spies, the white spy and the black spy. And I don't know, do you remember that?
I remember Mad Magazine well, but I can't remember this.
Well, they always had the two spies in
there. Yes, yes, I remember.
And they would be shaking each other's hands, but behind one, in the other hand, behind his back, he'd have a knife, and the other guy would have a bomb. But they'd be smiling, you know, and shaking each other's hands. So that just kind of came to mind because, you know, we're brought up in a very disrespectful way. Just by being in Kali Yuga, it's so prominent.
We are disrespectful unintentionally, unknowingly, sometimes knowingly, because unintentionally means one may be cultured, but mistakes happen. They want to say something, something else. That's a possibility. Unknowingly is that they're uncultured. We don't know. We don't know what's the right way to do it anyway. And the third is intentionally. So it may be any of these three.
Would Freudian slip be in that category?
Well, that was unintentionally.
Unintentional.
Okay. Unintention, unknowingly. Unintentionally, unknowingly, and knowingly. You know, when Varahadev and Hiranyaksha stand in front of each other, they're disrespecting each other like anything. Oh, you're the worst of the beings. Oh, shut up. I'm going to give you one tight whack and kill you. Oh, I'm going to tear your chest. You know, this is all disrespect. That's very intentionally done.
They're saying that the political debates going on now are, they've never seen anything like it. So it's just like a sign of the progression of Kali.
Then there is the unknowing. Unknowing is that one is just not cultured enough to know how to respect or how to honor certain persons. And then there is the unintentional. One knows, but sometimes it doesn't go the right way.
They have a phrase called absence of malice. So that might be unintentional, right?
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.